Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. Ninth race of the season is done. This is your Spanish Grand Prix recap, and we have a lot to talk about. But if you're watching on YouTube, which I hope you do because there's video here, this is actually the last time you'll be seeing this background, as I only have two finals standing in between me and my first year of my MBA here at Stanford being done. So I will be moving out of the dorms. I'm moving to LA for the summer, where I'll be working at CAA, the talent agency down there, for the summer. I can't wait to be an intern again. It's going to be wild, but I'm so excited to learn a ton over the summer. And then, yeah, I'm excited to actually live in LA. I've never lived there before. So open to any recommendations you all have, things to do, see, etc. Please send my way. And hopefully we'll be doing some sort of watch party at some point over the summer if there is a race that makes sense to do so with Pacific time. So stay tuned for that, but let's dive into the Spanish Grand Prix. First, a quick, in case you missed it for the weekend, let's start with quali. So the main highlights here, well, the first is a low light, but the shock knockouts in Q1 of Sainz and Tsunoda were exactly that, shocking, really tough to see that, especially Yuki, who qualified last in P20. By contrast, Isaac Hadjar has not been knocked out of Q1 once so far, and he had another Q3 appearance, so that was great. Alonso also made it to Q3, had a great lap. My favorite thing was his woo on the radio, so love to see that, especially at his home race. It was also the home race of Carlos Sainz, so that was a bummer for him. Q3, there was an insane pole shootout between Oscar and Lando. Oscar nabbed it by over 0.2 seconds, which is the largest pole margin of the year, but it was really crazy to see. The lap was just purple, purple, purple sectors. Super cool for Oscar, and he was just an animal this weekend, starting in quali all the way through the race. But our starting grid, the top five were Oscar, then Lando, Max, George, and Hamilton. So a little bit of a mix of teams in there. For the race itself, almost all started on softs. It was a great start from Oscar Piastri, who maintained the lead, and then Max had a great start, who was able to pass Norris off the start, though Norris did get that position back by lap 13, but a really good start for Max. It was a brutal start for Mercedes and George Russell. Both Ferraris got past him. George was definitely very frustrated. Toto even had to come on the radio and tell George to focus, which he did apologize for after the race. But I thought that was wild to hear Toto so early on. Also early on in the race, Williams broke both front wings with some incidents, and they had to pit early, which was sort of the beginning of the end for them. Not a great race for Williams. Hulkenberg, on the other hand, made up five places by the second lap and had some fun battling with home hero Alonso in there. And we'll, of course, talk about Hulkenberg's incredible race from P15 to P5 at the end there. Other highlights, Kimi Antonelli had an engine failure on lap 55, which triggered a very late safety car and then a restart, which gave us a race worth watching. So people dove into the pits. McLaren managed to keep their 1-2. Max pitted onto hards, which he was not happy about, but it was the only option they had. And he was trying to warm up his hard tires. He had a little bit of a wobble. Charles got by him for P3, but they made contact at 190 miles per hour. So it was a bit of a crazy incident. Then that was just the pregame for the incident of all incidents, which was between Max and George Russell, who historically have had beef, and this did not help their relationship. So Max was asked to let George through after Max had driven off track. Max said no, that he was ahead. His race engineer GP came on the radio and said, "My advice is to let him through. That's the rules." And Max was basically just like, "No." And so it looked at one point like Max was going to let George through. So George comes around the outside and Max just doesn't turn and just crashes into George, and they were both able to keep going, but it was one of the most insane incidents I've ever seen, and I'll obviously dissect what happened there. You all had lots of questions about this, so I'll be answering all of those, but George came on the radio and in his rare swearing moments said, "What the expletive? He just crashed into me." George's race engineer was like, "Don't know, mate." So it was really wild. Max was given a 10-second penalty and then also 2 penalty points on his super license. And what's even crazier on the Red Bull strategy front is stewards admitted that they were not going to give Max a penalty. They were not going to force him to give the position back to Russell. So Max was actually right on the radio that he didn't want to give it back and that he was in front of Russell. And so Red Bull really fumbled that, which is crazy to me. So not only did they put him on hard tires, they forced him to give back the place to Russell, which the stewards weren't even going to do. And then Max had this blow up that obviously doesn't justify what Max ended up doing to Russell and crashing into him. But that is actually wild that the stewards even admitted that they were not going to give Max a penalty for that. And then just to finish the race out, Hülkenberg had a great late pass of Hamilton to get into P6, which then became P5 after Max's 10-second penalty. And our podium was Oscar and then Lando, so a nice McLaren 1-2. And then Leclerc, who managed to get his second podium in a row, followed by George Russell and then Nico Hülkenberg for your top 5. I really liked Oscar's radio at the end to his race engineer saying that he should listen to him more often and he really knows his stuff. He said, "You know your stuff, Tom," which I thought was very cute. But the other highlight, Alonso managed to get his first points of the season. Nice to do that at home. He finished P9 after Max's penalty, so he got 2 points there. Very exciting. And then the cool down room was just the other thing to highlight. They're sort of like trying to talk about Max without talking about Max because they knew the cameras were on. So that was just a little bit of an awkward situation. But my overall thoughts on the race, I think it was a pretty sleepy first 3 quarters of the race, but it really came alive in the last 6 laps. And that late safety car, we have to thank, even though it was a bummer and at the expense of Kimi Antonelli's engine failure. There were some great storylines in the race with Nico Hülkenberg, as we mentioned, Alonso's first points of the season at home, Oscar's commanding performance all weekend, and then Hadjar continuing his incredible form. So some highlights there. The dark side of the race, as there always is a dark side, was the Max George incident, which we'll dive more into, Kimi's technical failure, and then another less than stellar weekend from Mercedes and disappointment from Williams as well. But before we dive into some of these talking points, I thought we would hit MVPs, LVPs, and how the hot takes went down. So for me, my MVP was Nico Hülkenberg. How could you choose anything else? He was my driver of the day in my heart, even though it went to Max, which I'll talk about as well. Kind of crazy after knowing that after the fact. But yeah, his recovery, Nico Hülkenberg's recovery drive from P15 to P5, that's their best result in 3 years, which is crazy. One of you asked, Ellie Belly said, "The Hulk was cooking. Could this be the restart of something for Nico?" I certainly hope so. I think have to temper my own expectations, just knowing that the stake car is not amazing. And with Audi coming in next year, it's really hard to come in cold with a cold start, essentially, to Formula One as a new team and do well off the bat, especially with such a big change in regulation. So I'm not sure. I feel confident that Nico is going to be, you know, consistently scoring points for the rest of the season or next year, but I would absolutely love to be proven wrong. And Nico Hülkenberg is a driver that I think a lot of people love. He's just a great guy. He's a good driver. He's very experienced. He's been around for a long time. He doesn't really lose his temper. And that's interesting to talk about in this race, just given the juxtaposition with some other drivers. So I do hope the best for Nico Hülkenberg, but yeah, it's tough when you don't have a car that's able to deliver what you're capable of. So we'll see. But on the bright side for Stake, they haven't had points since Australia, so this was a pretty big points haul for them. It was also Gabriel Bortoleto's best start, even if it didn't end in a great result, but it was his best start of the season, and I think P12. And then just my other MVP is the late safety car restart, which made the race much better. I think it was a little bit of a snooze fest beforehand, as I mentioned. My LVP, I think also pretty obvious in this situation, was Max's move and temper. I think he really could have let himself be the victim after the Charles incident when Charles made contact with him. And instead, he let his temper get the best of him. And he became the well-deserved villain of the race and gave himself a 10-second penalty and 2 penalty points for really no good reason. Like, there was nothing necessary in that. And I just think Max is better than that. Like, he doesn't have anything to prove in little moments like that. He's a 4-time world champion. He is still in the title fight for this year as well. Yes, there's pressure related to that. And yes, he was really upset about the hard tire switch, which was just bad strategy on Red Bull's part. But there is literally no reason for him to do that. Part of me wonders if that would have happened if it were anyone other than George Russell. Like, Max and George have had beef in the past. George said some things about Max's driving style. And so I don't know what Max was thinking, but I am very curious if it weren't George, whether that would have happened. Like, I don't see Max ramming into Lando or Charles Leclerc, but I guess you never know. But I'll dive into that incident more as we get into the race discussion points. But before that, my hot takes, 0 for 2, shocking. I said Franco Colapinto points and a Lewis podium. So tragic there. I got the wrong Ferrari driver on podium, which I'm happy for Charles, but I did want Lewis to get some of the good vibes after Charles got some good vibes in Monaco last weekend. So it was not to be, but yeah, Franco Colapinto either. It's been a tough go for him so far. And I'm interested to see how that develops in the rest of the races that he has. And if he continues this performance or maybe lack thereof, what decision they make regarding Jack versus Franco versus something else. I don't know. We'll see if they keep him in the seat or not, but I think it's too soon to say. So for the race discussion points, first was Lance Stroll missing the race. And some of you asked why there was no replacement of him. So it was announced after Stroll qualified P14 that he would be undergoing a hand and wrist procedure and would miss the Grand Prix. That was Saturday night that they announced that. And his doctors believe that pain that he's been dealing with for a while is in relation to that procedure he underwent in 2023 when he had that insanely fast recovery time to get back into the car. And it seems like what was maybe short-term gain for him is turning into long-term pain and not great recovery. So I think that's really interesting to see. So I think that's really tough for him. And I wonder what that will mean for his seat, how soon he'll be back in the car, if they do end up getting more of a replacement for the next race, although there is a couple weeks before we get to Canada. But a lot of people were asking why they didn't have a reserve driver step in. So both Felipe Drugovich and even Valtteri Bottas were available, but you are not allowed to swap drivers after qualifying. And Stroll had already participated in qualifying. So my question was, if they knew he was having this pain, why did they not like call it off just in time for someone else to get in the car? Like, you would think from a team perspective, if there were any chance that Stroll were not going to be able to take part in the race, then they should have just made that call before quali. So that was kind of a strange move and a bummer for Aston Martin and what could have been maybe even a double points weekend for them, which every point counts in this midfield battle. Another tough performance this weekend was Yuki Tsunoda. As I mentioned, he qualified last and then finished P13. And I've seen some sort of mumbling about whether or not Isaac Hadjar should be getting that second Red Bull seat. And I think, especially as you look at Hadjar's performance this year as one of the better rookies with up there with Kimi Antonelli and not having been knocked out in Q1 versus Yuki being knocked out in P20 this weekend, it is tough to see. And it's kind of baffling to me that this Red Bull second seat is so cursed. Like, I'm not like a spiritual person. I don't believe in curses necessarily, but it is absolutely wild if you look at the performance of the second seat drivers and drivers who are quite good. Now, I guess you can always debate whether Yuki deserved that seat in the first place or not, or if it should still be Liam, although Liam is not performing incredibly well either. But I hesitate to say, okay, like just put Isaac Hadjar in the seat and see what happens, because we see what happens to these drivers who get in that seat and then don't do well, even if they're doing fine in their other cars. And I just can't help but think it's that car being so tailored to Max that nobody else can handle it, or something happens, or there's something in the car or the team environment that just does not set drivers up other than Max Verstappen to perform in that seat. And even Yuki was like, I don't know why I'm not performing. And Christian Horner said, I don't know. I'm confused, essentially, of like what's going on with Yuki. And so it is just a very weird phenomenon. And I hesitate to say put Isaac Hadjar in that seat, because I don't want the same thing to happen to him when he's this very promising young rookie and probably needs a little bit more time to develop in an environment that is maybe a little bit more conducive to junior, more rookie drivers. So I don't know. I say don't put Isaac in that seat, but obviously I want what's best for him. And if that is better for his performance and his longer term career, great. It's hard to think about what's happening to all these other drivers in that seat happening to Isaac as well. I don't want to see that. And I want to see Yuki come back and climb out of the sort of hole that he feels like he's in and get back to performing on track, because I do think that Yuki is an incredibly talented driver, and I hope that he's able to do that. But I have been laughing. Someone sent me like a Sergio Perez apology form. I'm going to read this to you. Sergio Perez apology form to Sergio Perez, reason for behavior. And these are check boxes. The media convinced me he was done. I didn't actually watch the races. I only looked at advanced analytics. I don't know Formula One. I was jealous of Sergio Perez, and more, Mercury was in retrograde. And the last box is, I will hereby respect Sergio Perez, and I will not talk down on the future first ballot Hall of Famer. So crazy. But it actually is wild to think about how hard we were on Checo last year and how horribly we said his performance was. And we're seeing Red Bull just like cycle through these drivers that are not doing any better than Checo was. And Checo actually did have some really high highs in that team as a second driver, and was probably one of the best second Red Bull drivers that we've had or seen. And so I thought that was funny, but yeah, Checo, I think you deserve a little bit of an apology from everyone who doubted you and made it seem like it was all you, when none of these other drivers seem to be able to handle the heat.
Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. But what if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have, since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. But how is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all of your biggest workflows. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let's talk numbers, one of my favorite topics. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session, which adds up fast. And in this economy, that's money I'd much rather spend on Grand Prix tickets or my favorite driver's merch. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save, on average, up to 50% per session. Your mental health is worth that investment. And making that investment while saving, that is like a double podium for your favorite midfield team. And trust me, that's something we all need to see. BetterHelp also has over 30,000 credentialed therapists and a wide range of specialties, which may sound daunting, but they make finding the right therapist incredibly easy. And if something's not working, you can switch therapists at any time. Your well-being is worth it. Visit betterhelp.com/paddockproject today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/paddockproject.
Let's get into the other Red Bull driver and the incident between Max and George. So as discussed, what happened was Max drove off track, was told to give George the position back, argued that, felt like it was wrong. And then it looked like he was going to give the position back to George. As George was coming around the outside, Max just kind of turned into him, did not go around the corner. And yeah, he got a 10-second penalty and 2 penalty points on his license. And it's kind of crazy, as I was mentioning, that it was George because of all the beef that he and Max have had historically, and me wondering whether or not that would have happened if it were anyone else. But a lot of you asked questions on this. So Anissa Yusuf said, thoughts on Max's crash out. I saw the word crash out being used a lot on Sunday. Do you think Max intentionally hit George or just misjudged the space, had issues with the car, from Gwen Hartley? What to do when a pilot is intentionally driving into another driver when letting him through, from Chris Stuftogram? How did Max not get an immediate black flag and DQ? There was intent in the move, from Tuku the King. Thoughts on Max penalty? Should it have been more, or is 10 seconds enough, from Norisk or Norske? As I mentioned before, I think there was absolutely no reason for Max to do this. I think it was done intentionally in a period or a point in time of him losing his head and his temper after the switch onto hard tires, after feeling like the race wasn't going his way, after having a great start and maybe even feeling like a podium or a race win was within his reach. And after a lot of the pressure of people talking about how incredible Max is, he can do no wrong, even in a car that's not great, he can just like pull out these amazing things. It's almost like a given for people in people's minds that Max will just do something incredible with whatever car he's in. And I do think that that pressure is hard. And Monaco last weekend, he did not have the race that he had hoped. And I think there's some frustration in that, especially for Max, who is someone who wants to win. Like, he is a winner. That's all he's here for. He doesn't want to mess around with any of the extra stuff outside of just racing on track. And so I think that there's some frustration when he's not performing or not in a car that feels like it's capable of what it should be. All of that to say, Max has nothing to prove to anyone. He is a 4-time world champion. He is, I think, the most talented person on the grid right now, at least, you know, in terms of him being sort of at his peak performance in the lifespan of his career. And it was just so incredibly unnecessary that it just makes you scratch your head and be like, why? It's not the behavior of a 4-time world champion. And I feel for George in that situation for sure. But one of you said, I think George Russell is a snake. He also crashed into Max. What do you think, from Molinmo? I have to disagree on that. I don't think this was George. I'm sure George was told that Max was going to let him by, was just trying to get around. George gave Max more than enough room. It very much looked like Max just didn't turn on the corner and just went straight into George. So no, I don't think George Russell is a snake in this situation. And I think this was 100% on Max, and yeah, it shouldn't have happened. Then of course, we have to talk about the fact that Max got driver of the day. So one of you said Max doesn't deserve driver of the day after what he pulled. This is from K McCaff 13. And I agree 100%. It is so wild in retrospect that Max got driver of the day, but the votes were done, I think, before the incident. But even so, like, I don't know why Max would have deserved driver of the day in this race. Like, it very obviously, to me, should have gone to Nico Hülkenberg or Oscar Piastri for driving a flawless race. But oh well. And then, of course, there's the penalty points. So Max has 11 of 12 penalty points on his super license. So once you get to 12, you get a race ban. Two of those points, I believe, expire in Austria. So that's coming up. But if there were to be another sort of larger incident, Max would get a race ban. One of you said, we are getting Mad Max in the next race. This is from The Gray Dust. And it's very possible he'll have 2 weeks to calm down. And I also think he'll have a talking to maybe from his team and maybe cool down and come back. But what disappoints me more than anything is that Max has had the opportunity to apologize or just say that he was in the wrong, even just a simple, my bad, I'm sorry. Yes, it's not like Max's personality to apologize for things, but I do think that would have gone a long way. And that is the temperament of a world champion, which we just did not see from Max. And so it is a bummer that he has not apologized, at least as of this recording. We've not seen any sort of admittance of fault, which I do think is a mistake. And yeah, I do wonder still if it weren't Russell, maybe if it were Lando, he would have said something by now, but I don't know. There was one interesting question from Brooke Benoit saying, do we think Red Bull's strategy errors and Max's acting out spell the end of his time there? I don't think that this was necessarily indicative of anything broader going on at the organization or the fact that Max is leaving. I think this was a really hot-headed moment for Max. But again, you just never know. If Red Bull is not building a great car, if they're not executing or delivering on strategy, which they normally do, then yeah, I think, like I said, Max wants to win. So he'll go to an organization where he thinks he'll have the best shot. But if you look at the teams right now, and what could be available, I guess, in 2026. Like, Aston Martin's still a bit of a gamble, even if you have Adrian Newey and brand new facility and Honda coming your way. Like, it's still a gamble. And I don't think Max will jump ship from Red Bull until he feels almost certain that whatever he goes to will set him up better to win a championship. And I just don't see another team right now that could theoretically deliver that for him. In like even McLaren, with the regulations switching next year, McLaren's got the best car right now, but there's no guarantee that they'll have the best car with the regulation shift. So my thought on Max and Red Bull is that he will stay there through the first year of 2026, survey the field, see what's going on, and make a call whether he wants to stay at Red Bull, move to another team, or retire altogether as a father of two. So we'll see what happens. And the one last thing to talk about on the Red Bull situation were these hard tires. A bunch of you said things about this. Call me May said the hard tires of Verstappen were a mistake. What happened there? Red Bull messed up so bad with those hard tires from Troublemaker Me. Those were a couple of them. Yeah, it was the only tires they had, but I believe, I totally agree. I think they should have planned better for the weekend, designed the strategy different, especially given the three stopper that they put Max on. It just seemed like a blunder in the strategy department. So that was a bummer. Another race talking point were the Ferrari team orders. So Hamilton was ahead of Leclerc at this point. Leclerc was definitely the faster car, but Ferrari waited a while to swap the cars, and Leclerc lost several seconds behind Hamilton. Leclerc obviously ended up getting that podium, but I wonder what would have happened if, you know, they had swapped them earlier. Someone asked, Anastasia Bell said, how do you feel about the Hamilton and Leclerc position swap? And I do think it's a very hard call to make to a seven-time world champion who you've signed and want to make great things happen with. But I do think at the end of the day, at this stage of the season, the Constructors' Championship is way more important right now than the Drivers' Championship for them. You never know what happens in the second half of the season. We're only 9 of 24 races in, but I don't think Hamilton and Leclerc are likely to be world champion this year. And so you have to be thinking about the team, the Constructors' battle, and just trying to maximize points and positions where you can. So I do think it was the right call to swap them, and we didn't really hear too much disagreement from Hamilton on the radio, because he probably also understood that was more important. But yeah, it almost feels like they didn't want to say it, and so they waited. But I think in some of these situations, you need to just rip the Band-Aid off and do that. And I say that as the biggest Hamilton fan, but I do think that this was the right call in this situation. And then, yeah, of course, it was such a bummer that Hamilton then had that really slow 4.9 second pit stop. Not the best race for him, but there's still time. So for the standings, we have Oscar Piastri with 186, Norris with 176, so still only 10 points apart. That is just one race away from, you know, swapping those positions. So we'll see what happens there. Max Verstappen at 137, Russell at 111, Leclerc 94, Hamilton 71, Antonelli 48, Albon 42, Hadjar 21, and Ocon 20. So that's your top 10. And then for teams, constructors, we have McLaren with 362, Ferrari with 165, so way back there. Mercedes 159, so Ferrari has overtaken Mercedes in constructors. Then we have Red Bull with 144, Williams at 54, Racing Bulls 28, Haas 26, Kick Sauber 16, tied with Aston Martin at 16, and Alpine at 11. So actually really wild that Stake and Aston Martin are tied for 8th and 9th. Really not a great start to the season for Aston Martin. And with that, that is your Spanish Grand Prix recap. Let me know any thoughts or questions in the comments. There is no race next weekend, but I'll be back with an episode. And then we have Canada coming up next. So I'll chat to you soon.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.